everybody, Happy New Year. Actually, I don't know if you're allowed to say that at this point. It's never been officially confirmed, but my name's Adam Cook, and I'm here hosting this here podcast with Chris White and Nicola Ardron. How are you both?
Not too bad, thank you.
I'm all right, thanks. I'm all right.
Do we have opinions on when it's too late to stop winning? When do you stop saying Happy New Year? It's about now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about now, isn't it? I mean, it was, what, the 6th yesterday, so that's the 12th day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of Christmas and all that.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, about now.
I mean, over the weekend, I went out and saw people set their decorations up, and it's like, you know, same thing as I said before, Christmas. Like, if it makes you happy, good luck to you. But we are here. This is January. We are... It's gonna be busy. Like, we were just talking before we started recording about like all the re-releases coming this year, and that's before you talk about Ace Combat, Travis Strikes Again, Resident Evil 2, of course, Kingdom Hearts 3. Kingdom Hearts 3 is out this month. This month, a probably 50-hour game is out this month. They don't care about us, do they? These publishers?
No, very selfish.
It's very selfish. But then I suppose, how long has Kingdom Hearts 3 actually been coming? Because I've played Kingdom Hearts games. Is it one of those?
Is it? It's 5 years.
Wow.
So,
what, it was announced?
I'm sure it was.
Oh, really? I thought... Because it's... let's not get into Kingdom Hearts. Maybe we'll do like a bonus podcast about that one day, because I'd love to talk to sort of a few people, actually, who can tell me, because I played the original when it came out. I think I played another one. I've played some of the re-releases.
Yeah.
And then, but once they got into decimal points, I just...
It's mental, that storyline.
It's mental. But let's, you know, hey, tell us. I'll get the plug out of the way right now. Patreon.com/GodIsAGeek. For $1 a month, we give you extra early podcasts like this one. There's a bit in this podcast you hear that's going to be a bonus pod within a pod. And maybe we do a Kingdom Hearts pod. You tell us. If you're a backer, go to patreon.com/GodIsAGeek. Would you like a Kingdom Hearts primer? Sort of would and sort of wouldn't, if I'm honest with you. But we can't talk any more about that. That's the plug out of the way. We need to talk about games, because they are still happening. And also because we did the Game of the Year stuff, that we were all playing stuff over Christmas. And something we want to get started with, Chris, you and I have both played it. Nicola, I know you enjoyed the game. Spider-Man, Marvel Spider-Man, the DLC is all out now. It's done. It's finished. There's three pieces. First of all, Nicola, have you played any of the DLC?
No, and I'll be honest, I'm not right bothered.
Why not? But just because you've got your fill.
I really enjoyed the main game. I hammered it. I got the platinum in it, which I didn't find as onerous as some folk did. but I kind of feel like I've had my fill.
Yeah.
And the stuff that I've seen and read about and you guys have talked about with the DLC, I'm kind of a bit like, not bothered.
Let's see. I wonder where we're going to fall on this, because I quite like the first one. And I think Chris... You found the second one all right. I think I can't remember what you gave it. Was it 6?
It was something like that, yeah.
I can't remember. But I know I enjoyed it a lot less than that. You go for it, Chris. Where I can't remember the name of it, but a silver something, is it? I can't remember. What's the third piece? How do you feel?
Know. The whole thing with City Never Sleeps. So we'll talk about it all. But the third one, it was better than the second one by a mile. Just because the second one was just meandering, waste of time. But it kind of there's a good boss battle in the final piece of DLC with Hammerhead and Silver Sabre, which I've really enjoyed. But it was just more of the same. And I think after such a great game, it just feels like it's just diffused the excitement for me for it. I mean, I still enjoyed swinging around and playing, but it was just a bit tiresome.
Let me ask a question then, right? So, so each of these DLCs, if you take out the non-essential stuff, they're about 2 hours, aren't they? Give or take, you know. And it's like it's double that if you want to do everything, I suppose.
Yeah.
But talking purely upon, we won't get into deep spoilers, but the 2 hour core kind of story content, I feel like the first hour of or the first half of DLC 3 is incredibly poor, and the second half's quite good, because I don't. Like the way, I mean, Nicola, that you will be able to sort of know what we're talking about, because the way they leave, I've forgotten their bloody names. Is it Silver Sabre?
Silver Sabre.
Silver Sabre.
The way they leave her character, and the way her and Spider-Man finish their interactions in the main game, I kind of feel like it's on a good note, and makes sense.
Yeah.
And then in this one, she comes back, and I don't get the character arc at all in this DLC.
No,
for the first hour, it's like she's been taken over by an evil. It's like Venom's inside her or something, controlling her brains.
Yeah,
brains.
It
brain,
seems very
evil.
Out of character for in the terms of this Spider-Man story. Because you're right, they didn't end up like mortal enemies, and just because they disagreed, she turns into this. She's just very anti Spider-Man, I kind of get why, in the terms of the story, like with her home country and what's going on, but it, like, Spider-Man's clearly someone who wants to help, but because she's so brooding, and then she's just kind of, we just forget that.
So brooding,
just seems silly.
Like, the one thing I feel like they avoid in Spider-Man, the game, I'm talking generally, is I kind of feel they avoid some of the big superhero-y tropes. Like, they don't do the video game-y thing of, oh, you're too weak, you need to, you know, this bad guy's going to kick your ass, you need to go away and come back when you're stronger, and now you can take him. Well, they don't really do that,
no,
do they?
They never did, to be fair. I mean,
But they do with that character, because she comes along and all of a sudden she can kick your ass. It's like, but I'm Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I've beaten up like 3 million of your, you know, I forget the name of the character, what they are, her army, the, you know, the Sable
Agents,
whatever they're called.
Yeah,
like, I've beaten the shit out of them, and
she comes back with
she
a
just
fucking
comes along and you can't beat
invisible
her.
Base, invisible jet, like what the fuck, and that weapon on it,
quite cool to be
it
fair.
It is cool, but like completely, like, no mention of that in the main game. It's still Spider-Man. Like, I still had a lot of fun.
In
the fights. Like, the fights in the third DLC are pretty tough, like, compared to what we've seen before, and they really kind of take it out of you. But I still enjoyed it. But it's like, it's just more of the same. And like the side stuff, like the screwball challenges, have been the worst thing about the whole thing.
I've had enough of them.
Like, even the side story in the main game, it she's just not a very interesting character. And I just...
Well, it's because it's the YouTube-y Twitch
thing,
isn't it?
I just... It just...
That doesn't need to... I get it. It's a modern Spider-Man game. It's modern blah, blah, blah. But, like, having someone in... what other game does this? There's another game, and I know we all talked about it on the podcast at some point, where it goes on... I think it might be The Crew. The Crew 2, where it goes on about subscribers and that. And it's like, don't put that in your game because it doesn't work.
Yeah.
But... I wonder, you know, Frozen Wilds for
Forza.
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
I still haven't played that DLC. I was thinking about it the other day, and I was thinking, I really should go back and play that, because I loved Horizon Zero Dawn. But I wonder if the reason, like, Chris and I are a bit soured on this DLC is because it was quite soon after the game. And when you do platinum it, and I think a lot of people did, you've put, I would say, at least 30 hours into that game. And I feel like you want to come back because, you know, it's there. But at the same time, I wonder if they'd released it later as kind of a one large, like a Bloodborne-style thing, like a Frozen. Maybe I'd come back and enjoy it more.
I'd have been happier to see all three of the stories as part of one expansion and less screwball missions. So instead of however many you get, you just get like 10 overall, and it's just one big expansion, because it just seemed like they were trying to fill it up for the sake of filling it up. And it didn't really work for me.
One 6 hour bit of content with maybe a little bit of side stuff to make it up to say 8 or 9.
Yeah.
I think I'd have enjoyed that more.
Yeah, but it wasn't terrible, because it was obviously still Spider-Man, but it just kind of made the whole experience a bit sour for me. Other than right at the end, where it got me in the heart with the Stan Lee bit, which I was like, oh,
wasn't expecting that. But I suppose when you think about it, it makes sense.
And just before we move on, I just want to mention Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. If you haven't seen that film yet, it's incredible.
I'm dying
like,
to.
It's
dying
absolutely
to.
Amazing. And it won a Golden Globe, which I was really happy for, like beating Ralph Breaks the Internet and stuff like that. So, yeah, people should go and watch that. It's very good.
I do. It takes a lot to get me out to the cinema, but I really want to see that. Time. Yeah. Another game that came out in December... a little bit earlier, but it was a surprise. It was a surprise announcement, but it also wasn't, because they said it would be out in 2018, and they kept their word. Via Game Pass, just, you know, listen. If you listen to this podcast and this is your first one because you're going like, oh, new podcast. Well, I listen to this one. It's new year. I'm going to get some new podcasts. You're going to hear us champion Game Pass a lot because we all think it's great.
And it's amazing.
It is great. It's a shame Gary couldn't be here this week. He just couldn't. He's unavailable this week because that was the game he was waiting for a long time. I'm going to just say, surprising no one, I disagree with Gary's opinion on this game.
Poor Gary.
I know. I don't know what to say. Like, I wasn't as anticipating it as much as he was. Were you, Nick?
No, to be honest, it was only really on my radar because Gary was so hyped about it.
Right.
I mean, I downloaded it,
yeah,
but I was poorly over Christmas,
right,
as some of you may or may not know. And I'd started it. Well, I had a couple of hours on it when it first came out,
mm-hmm,
but I was in the middle of trying to like get rammed through Red Dead Redemption and a few others because I was still hoping I might appear on the Game of the Year podcast.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So I didn't spend too much time with it because I was like just madly trying to finish God of War and a few others. And it didn't really grab me. Guys.
What was the game a week or two before below, the other one?
Ashen.
Right, Ashen was another. So not, again, it sounds like I've just gone, we're going to praise Game Pass. And those two games, both of them, I was like, so below and Ashen. I can't remember if we spoke about Ashen on the podcast before Game of the Year. I think we might have, so apologies. But both of them, I just, similar to you, I booted it up and I was like, oh, this has been a while coming. Like below, I... So it's a roguelike, isn't it? And I think I would have been fine with that until I discovered crafting in it as well. And I'm not anti-crafting, but I in December I was like, I don't think I need another game like this. And it opens with this shot. I don't think I've ever seen a slow zoom shot as slow as that. Like, mm-hmm, it's insane. And then you get off the boat. And so how far did you get out of interest? Can you remember?
Well, can we just talk about that long, slow zoom shot? Because I actually thought my console had crashed.
Well, I thought I was supposed to do something, like it was waiting for a button
push. I was
madly
pressing all the buttons on my controller going, what the fuck has this crashed?
Out of interest,
I don't know what's going on.
Out of interest, how do you think that made it through QA without someone going, people are going to think something's wrong? Because like, you're thinking your console's crashed. I'm pressing buttons thinking, because I've got shit eyesight anyway, and I'm thinking, am I actually on screen and I'm supposed to be I'm supposed to move the boat. No, I'm not. Okay. And it just, and even then it keeps going to the point where it's like, I'm definitely surely something now. Nope. Mm. Like, I don't get how that got through.
It's too long.
It's a bit up its own arse there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's too long. How far did I get? Not very far. I got to a level where there were those insta-kill like pits with red spikes in them.
Yep.
And I'd run out of the light thing, whatever that's called.
Don't know. I got a bit further than you.
So I couldn't really see what I was doing.
Wow.
And like I said, I wasn't in the right frame of mind. So I wouldn't take this, that this is my like, oh, it's shit. It's just not grabbed me. It's because I was trying desperately to get, I think I just finished God of War, which I really enjoyed. And then I was like trying desperately to get through Red Dead Redemption. So I wasn't in the right frame of mind for it.
No, fair.
But
didn't grab really, you.
I might well go back to it and enjoy it. One thing I didn't particularly like about it is that it doesn't explain any of its systems.
So,
and I know how people go, oh, well, games are too handheld. I just didn't like that because I'm like, well, what the fuck am I actually... Sorry about me swearing.
No, that's...
But
this,
what the fuck
listen.
Am I supposed to be doing?
So,
you know,
to add
I don't
to
know
that,
what this is. I don't know what that is. What the fuck do I go... Why can't I do that when I could before? Do you know what I mean? It's like...
Oh, I know what you mean, because that's why I stopped playing it, because I got to another one... Well, they're bonfires. Campfires.
They're
campfires. So I got to a campfire and I had an item and I used that item. And it transported me back to the campfire that I'd found before that. with no way of going back the other way. So it's one way fast travel. And I did that, and I went, no, and just turned it off. And I was like, it looks beautiful. I love the art style. It's perhaps a little dark.
Yes, it's dark.
But I get it. You know, your torches, blah blah blah. But like when I realised the game had allowed me, like I get it. You want people to learn. But if you're gonna basically take 20 minutes of someone's time and go, rather than just have just one pop-up that says, oh, hey, this is fast travel, you're going to go back 20 minutes and have to walk all the way back here. Because it's not difficult at that point, but you still have to walk. It's not a fast game. And at that point, like, you know, perhaps my own stupidity, perhaps I missed something, but it was just a case of, yeah, you've lost me now, because like that was the only one of those items I had. And now I've used it fucking off back 20 minutes. And I'm sure there's a good game in there. And I think I'm similar to you in that we were, I think, in the midst of Game of the Year stuff, and I was probably editing, and it was a case of I just wanted something to not be doing that. You know, like yourself, you were poorly or whatever, you know, you just want to be distracted, don't you?
Yeah, I wasn't poorly at that point.
No, but I mean, like you were saying about, it's before the cast, you were saying about you've played this, that when you were poorly, because you want to distract. And what it was for me. I just wanted to do something that was like that. I'm not working. I'm not doing anything. I'm just playing this game. And it was like, maybe that was the wrong game for that moment, which is, again, how I went back and just went, I'm just going to carry on playing Red Dead again then, you know. So, but, you know, I'm sure Gaz will talk about it below. And if you know, he's played more of it than us.
He went through a bit of a, like, you know, if I'm allowed to say, but he did go through a little bit of a, oh, I'm not really sure about it. It's annoying me. Yeah. All of to ending up like, oh, now I get it.
Yeah.
So,
I just don't know that I've got that time for.
I know what you mean. I mean, I'm still, with me being poorly as well, I'm way behind on trying to finish stuff that I was trying to finish before I fell poorly.
But
so.
you have been playing Subnautica, which is a game
I played
about 15 minutes of when it first hit early access, and it was at the time. I mean, Chris, I think, did as well. I found it quite rough, but that's what early access is for. So we didn't stick a video up or an article going, this is shit. You know, it's just like, this is early access. It's clearly early access. I understand because it is out now, right? It's
it's a full release. Now, yeah.
And that's the version you're playing on Xbox.
Yeah. It's my jam, this.
It's a survival game. It's a survival game.
Yeah, I love, you know me, I love a survival game.
See, when I first played it really didn't tell you much. And
it
still doesn't.
And that is one of my
criticisms.
But there again, I think about Minecraft. And when you first start in Minecraft, it's like, I don't even know how to craft stuff.
The first time I played Minecraft.
So you have to kind of go on a wiki, and Terraria is similar.
Ark is very similar. Ark doesn't even tell you that you can basically, right, the idea is that when you start Ark the first time, go and punch some trees to get some wood.
Yeah.
Doesn't tell you that. Yeah, well, it didn't when I played it.
It was the same with Conan.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't even know how to, like, pick stuff up.
I believe the official way of saying it is that these games have poor onboarding. There you go.
Okay.
See, I've learned a journo term. It's a journo term.
What does that mean?
Shit tutorials, essentially.
Right.
Who's going to be the first person to now sneak poor onboarding into a review on God is a Geek that's not spotted? I might do it myself.
Right. So, this is a game that, again, I'd started before Christmas. I think you gave me the code before Christmas, and I'd put in a couple of hours, and then I got poorly.
Mm.
I only had flu, by the way, in case people are going, oh my God, what's wrong with her? Oh my God.
Only flu? Flu's
well,
pretty rough.
Yeah, but yeah, it was pretty rough.
Flu's pretty bad.
I couldn't play it during my period of being ill because it took too much concentration. I couldn't play it. So I've only just recently gone back to it, and I've got maybe 10, 11 hours in it now. And I really quite like it. There's lots and lots to like about it. But I am at that stage where I'm a little bit frustrated in that I'm not quite sure what I need to do next or how I can move forward. So I'm kind of having to resort to wikis, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but also it kind of means that I'm sat there with my phone, you know, because I'm, you know, when I was learning how to play Minecraft, I was playing on my PC and I could just, you know, alt-tab, flip between the wiki and back to the game. So it's a bit easier when you're sat at a desktop. But now I'm sort of sat on my phone, flicking about on my phone, trying to find out what I'm supposed to do. And, oh, I should have, like, crafted bleach for water because I keep dying of dehydration. Fuck's sake. You know, it's like, so this sort of stuff that I'm finding. And, yeah, I kind of like it. It is still a bit rough. Like, there's quite a lot of pop-up. You know, because as you're exploring, I've just got this sea glide thing, which means exploring isn't quite as onerous now. I can move around a bit easier. Mm-hmm. And because I'm now like moving faster, the terrain pop-up is quite noticeable. Like there'll be points where, you know, like a Minecraft chunk loads.
Yeah.
It's a bit like that. So it can be a bit disorientating and disconcerting when the pop-up comes and you're like, oh my god, I'm at a cliff or whatever.
When the first survival game that's like this absolute graphical powerhouse will come. Do you know what I mean? Because a lot of the survival genre has that kind of, and you don't mind because you're not in it for that. You're not, you know, you're not playing Minecraft for the graphics. So you know,
I wonder.
You know what I mean? But I wonder when the first sort of survival game like these will come along and it will just be absolutely blow your mind how good it looks.
I don't know. Probably never, because they're doing so much other stuff.
Yeah, it's just not a priority, I suppose.
Exactly, and you know, it doesn't look terrible. At times, it can be quite nice looking. You know, in terms of, you know, like there's really quite noticeable different biomes. Like I've only found a few because I've reached a point in the loose story that sort of overarches the whole experience. I've reached a point where I'm now fucking terrified to go anywhere because something's happened and I'm not happy. I kind of went nope. And went and like swam away.
So I'm surprised that Chris would play this at all, because Gary was quite upfront about it. Like when you said you were playing it, he literally, because I'm going to say this word and I'm never going to get it right first time, but I'm going to try again. Thalassophobia. Is it phallophobia or thalassophobia?
No, I've got a phobia of phalluses.
That's a different phobia altogether. I think we've all got that.
Understandable, yeah. Chris, to I be mean, honest.
If you're saying that you're waking up in the middle of the night with cold sweats because you've had nightmares that are just flopping in your face,
I'm not,
you know, I can get behind that.
Yeah, no.
But thalassophobia or thalassophobia is the fear of deep water.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's why I played it for 5 minutes and just thought, nah, I just can't do it.
Because Gary said, like you said to Nicola in our Slack channel, like, no, there's just no way. But you did play it
for a little bit. I get uncomfortable watching Finding Nemo.
Like, I shouldn't. Wow. I'm gonna get like, told off for laughing at that.
It's the scenes where like it pans out right into the ocean and like something's coming. It's the same as Pinocchio. When the whale approaches from the distance, like, anything like that, no.
I have never, ever heard the phrase, I get uncomfortable watching Finding Nemo in my life.
And whilst that it's a fantastic film, there are some bits where, I'm just that uncomfortable with it.
That's a horrible fear to have. Like,
I don't think it's an unreasonable fear, though, because, you know, the ocean is terrifying. Like, I'm not frightened of open water.
No.
In my real life, I'm not frightened of open water. I love the water. I'm a, you know, strong swimmer. Same. I don't have any fear of being in water. However, there is a very definite primal kind of like, I don't like the idea of I can't touch the bottom or I can't necessarily see the bomb. And I think I did something in Slack, didn't I? I said about when I went on my honeymoon, I went to the Maldives for my honeymoon and we did some snorkeling and a little bit of scuba diving. Yeah. And snorkeling in the Maldives is amazing because you're on an atoll and it's wonderful and there's this reef around like the beach that you're on and it's amazing. But the reef has a drop off. And whenever I went to the edge of the atoll, and, you know, like the edge of the reef, and then it drops off into the deep blue sea, I would always catch my breath just go,
see,
like, because that sudden sense of the space.
Yeah.
And that, I think that for me was more agoraphobia. Is it agoraphobia?
Yeah.
Just this fear of open space rather than it specifically being sea related. It was just that moment. So there's an element of that in this.
So I'm fascinated by that. That's what appeals to me.
I don't think it's an unhealthy fear, to be honest.
I'd love to ever see those documentaries where they're just like, for example, they're trying to the Titanic wreck, and you know, I find that stuff so fascinating. But I'm guessing for Chris, that's horrifying.
Yeah, I just won't watch it. I mean, to be fair, nearly drown as a child, so there is
obviously the opposite reaction.
Yeah, but
I find the ocean, I guess, in a way that people think of the jungles, like the fact that there's so much of it unexplored, and there's in some cases actually no way of exploring it. I find that endlessly enthralling. It's like the idea that there could be literally species there that look. I mean, when you do see the footage, and Chris, genuinely, if this is upsetting to hear, say and we'll stop.
Hey, talk about it.
But I find like some of those you see, they're classed as fish, I guess. But when you see them, you're like, this looks like an alien. Like it. I find so.
That's what's so frustrating about like Blue Planet and stuff like that. Like I love David Attenborough, but I just can't watch him.
You just can't
watch it. No,
it's a shame.
Well, on that note, it's Subnautica review coming soon.
Just to kind of say, it starts off Subnautica and it's kind of like quite gentle because you're in these coral shallows and it's quite gentle and pretty and you're like, ooh, it's not bad, you know, other than the fact that I'm like a lone survivor on a starship crash, but hey-ho. And it's turned into a genuine fucking horror game. I keep dipping in and out of it because I keep like edging to the like limits of where I want to go, and then I'm like, nope, and like hightailing it back again. But I have to do something because I'm kind of in a situation where I'm a bit stuck. I need to build something that will help me explore deeper and further away from
but
the
that
safe
sounds cool
place.
Because
that, it's really cool.
That sounds
I really
like
what
like No Man's Hero, No Man's Hero, No Man's Sky was missing that thing
story. Yeah, like there's quite a surprising story hook that I wasn't expecting from it, really. Because when I said to you, you know, are we reviewing it? Mm. And I'd quite like to do it if we've got code.
Yeah.
I really was interested in it from a survival crafting point of view.
Mm.
And I didn't know too much about it in terms of it actually having a story hook. So the story stuff has kind of been surprising to me and has taken me down these routes that I've been a bit like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. Because I just thought it was like, oh, you're in the ocean and you've just got to survive and build and craft and stuff like that. And I thought, well, that sounds quite good. Quite like to do that.
Absolutely.
And now, of course, it's got these story beats, which is actually pretty cool because the story beats are pulling you. They're forcing you to go and explore. They're driving the exploration of the game, whereas otherwise I'd probably still be pottering about because I like pottering about. The stuff that pulls you, drives you through. And one last thing I will say about it, the music in it is awesome.
That's always good.
It's like really atmospheric, totally fits with what's going on. And all of the noises underneath the water as well are quite like cool and eerie sometimes. And so it's good. Okay. I'm enjoying it.
Before we get into the news, very briefly, I'm going to say I bought Super Mario Party at Christmas, and I had it sort of helped me have a sort of renaissance with my Switch, which I suppose is a bit early to be having a renaissance with a 2-year-old console, but I had fallen back into the Wii U thing of I pick it up for exclusives, and that was it. But I went back and I played some more, because after we'd done the Game of the Year stuff, you know, you always think to yourself, is that... Was I right to fight for that game? So I played some Dead Cells, I played some... Into the Breach on Switch, which I also bought at Christmas, and I felt vindicated because those two are such sublime games. Like, Into the Breach feels great on Switch. I talked to a few people before buying it about it, and a few of them said, "Yeah, no, it works really perfectly." And I had my reservations, but it was something like £7 for it, and I thought that given that I got a code for the game, I thought like, I kind of want to support the game, so I bought it, and I love it on Switch. It's great, but Super Mario Party is probably the best Mario Party for I've played for a long time. And I know some people hate it, that series, and that's absolutely fine. But it got my entire family, even the dog, he wasn't playing, but everyone in my little office playing this game. And it's still got some bullshit in it. Like, it's still a lot of random stuff in it. There's some... Do you remember when we went to the preview event, Chris, and the 1-2 Switch stuff?
Yeah.
Milking the cow and that. Yeah. Like, it's got some stuff like that where you're holding your arm out and shaking it up and down. It's that you feel that somewhere at Nintendo, they'd never admit it, but someone knows they're making you do a wanking motion with the, you know, someone knows.
Oh, she,
and
she
they
knew,
are
the woman,
reveling
the woman
in
who
it.
Was doing oh, it. Oh, she knew. Because she said, oh, looks like you've had some practice at this.
I don't remember.
She was clearly that. Having a... Yeah, they do.
A pop, by the sound of it. They do. But, like, there's some of that, like the mini games that are a combination of, like, you know, arcadey style things where you hold the Joy-Con, but you shake it about. Like, there's one where you... It uses the HD rumble. And the thing is, they've stopped making a big deal about that. It's just part of the system. Like, you basically, the jar, it's a jar of sweets upside down, all varying sweets, and you have to sort of shake the sweets out, looking, you know, and it's just really good. Mm. And it's got lots of, like, different modes that are unexpected. I wasn't going to get it, and it was Nick's review that made me go, actually, I might have to have a look at this. And then it's just like, you know what, I want a game that is just something different, and it's... Mario Party is certainly different. So I grabbed that and I'm really enjoying that. I think, you know, not that it needs saying, but Nick's review's bang on. It's just a great game. There are some issues with it, but generally speaking, it's just a really fun game. Have you played it, Chris?
No, I haven't played it yet.
Okay. No, it's just a really good Mario Party. Like, it's just a lot of little things, quality of life improvements. The boards are smaller. I think some the only thing about it that I would improve is the boards. Some of them are... They could be better, but, like, the general game is just... Yeah, it's really good fun, and that pleases me no end.
I got a Switch game for Christmas.
You did, I know, yeah.
I'm excited.
Have you not started
Zelda.
Yet?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you have started.
Yeah, I have, yeah. Mm. I've got myself a little horsey. I'm off the plateau... And I'm pottering about.
Yep.
Pottering.
It's definitely a game
about.
For that.
I am, though, because everybody's seen that Twitter thing of that streamer, haven't they? Which is hilarious.
I expect so,
she's hilarious. And she's like, I've done 95 hours, I've killed 3 of the 4 divine beasts, and I've just come across a combat tutorial.
Yep.
Well, that's made me mega paranoid. And
but
I'm
you're
like,
missing something.
I haven't found a combat tutorial, guys. I haven't found one.
Huh. I wonder if they patched it to change some stuff, because I did get that stuff when I reviewed it. And you got to remember, that was at a time where it wasn't out, so nobody was... Because it was, at one point, awash on Twitter with clips of this game. Mm. And this was obviously before that was allowed. And it was one of those very privileged experiences. I felt like it's a special game to me, that is. And it felt that way, if you know what I mean. And but I definitely got a tutorial.
No, there is no tutorial. Like, everybody's saying, oh, you'll just stumble on it. And I'm like, well, I've found all the 4 shrines on the plateau. I've done the tower. And I haven't come across a combat tutorial.
That clip of her is fantastic.
It's really funny. I really laughed and I really felt for her. Because it's just the way she's like, oh, my God, was I supposed to have found this at the beginning? And then it finishes and she just goes, crucial.
Well, let's talk.
So I might just have to look at that clip and see how
she does
to fight
it. Yeah. No, that's a fair point. Let's talk about a game. There's not much news happening. You know, people are sort of still coming back from holidays, and it's not a huge amount. There's some bits and pieces that we won't cover here, like the Hitman collection. Yeah, go to godisageek.com. You'll see some bits and bobs, and we are looking to try and bring you a video that sums up some of the biggest stories each week. Stay tuned for that. If you're a Patreon, you'll have already seen the kind of prototype for that. Just 2 bits of news this week then, really. The first one is Call of Duty related. So let's get into that, because Blackout was a terrific game. Blackout's terrific mode. Black Ops 4 was a terrific game, but...
I'm still cross.
Infinity Ward is their turn this year, it would seem. The Call of Duty, for those who don't know, the Call of Duty studios, there's 3 of them. I've forgotten the third.
Sledgehammer.
Infinity Ward and...
Who? Treyarch.
Treyarch, who just did it, didn't they? Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
So it's Infinity Ward's turn. They take it in turns. That way they get... Because otherwise you'd look at it and go, wow, they put a game out every year. They do, but not that studio. They all work on bits and bobs. Anyway, it's Infinity Ward's turn next year. Now, there were rumours that it was going to be Call of Duty Ghosts 2, and I think they've been nixed because I think even if it was, even if the game is Ghosts 2, they ain't calling it that because that did not do well. But there's a job listing appeared for 2019's Call of Duty, and it does sound like there might be single player coming back. Now, there was a lot of news around Black Ops 4's single player was in development. It just wasn't in the right state, which is why it never came out. And it sounds like parts of that got rolled into the tutorial-y stuff. Anyway, so people are suggesting, is it Ghost 2? Which pretty much saying it's not. Could it be Modern Warfare 4? Or another new, you know, series?
Well, they did Infinite Warfare.
That's right. Yes, yeah, so it could.
I don't think they'll make that mistake again, though, will they?
I wouldn't have thought so.
Slammed that one.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. But
hang on a minute.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's all right. I've lost a year. I forgot about World War Two. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
that was the year before. Yeah. So an unannounced AAA title is forthcoming from Infinity Ward. And the job basically says, come work with the game industry's brightest on an exciting unannounced next-gen title, which is very interesting. In this hands-on role, you'll get to collaborate with experienced designers on creating and implementing new game features. A strong interest and passion for first-person shooter games. I wonder what that means it is. A recent graduate... This stuff is not quite as interesting, but then the job of listing also suggests that there will be a single-player mode. Job duties, because there's another job that's gone up for a senior gameplay animator, where one of the job duties includes creating high quality third person gameplay character animations. Now, the website I'm looking on here is Dexierto. I'm not sure how you say that. They're saying, like, how could Infinity Ward be implementing third person gameplay? Well, it's probably more to do with, like, they're going to keep the Battle Royale mode, aren't they, now? And there's elements of that that are going to be seen in third person, aren't they? Like, even if it's... I can't remember. Is the replays in third person in Blackout? I can't remember.
No.
Not even... But you think when you drop in, you're in third person. So it could be something as simple as that. Like, gameplay character animations. It could be posing, timing, and weight. It could just be as simple as someone who needs to work on the... You know, when you... In your squirrel suit, you drop in at the beginning of Blackout.
It could be maybe. Anything.
But... I don't think it's a shock that single player might be coming back to Call of Duty.
No.
I mean, is that all they do? Is that...
Well, Activision, generally.
No, I mean, like, Infinity Ward, that's it. Call of Duty's their only game. Because...
Yeah. But they work on a lot, if you know what I mean. They tend to... I mean, I'm looking at, like, games, and, yeah, it's Call of Duty, Call of Duty 2... Modern Warfare, Modern Warfare 2, Call of Duty Classic, which I don't even remember that, Modern Warfare 3 with Sledgehammer Games, Ghosts and Infinite Warfare. Like, to be fair, it's kind of weird because when you think about the fact they did Modern Warfare and Modern Warfare 2, which are obviously rightly beloved games, since then...
Yeah, most of that team left.
That's what I mean. They went to
Titanfall 2.
Yeah, Titanfall 2.
Titanfall, Respawn.
Respawn, thank you. Yeah, I mean, Ghosts and Infinite Warfare. Infinite Warfare had a good single player, but the multiplayer I did not care for at all. Ghosts, I don't think I played more than half an hour of, and I didn't like it at all.
I played a lot of Ghosts multiplayer, but I absolutely do not remember.
Is Ghosts someone with a dog? No, Ghosts, you start in space. That's what I remember about Ghosts. They won't make a Ghosts game again.
I don't remember the campaign, but I do remember that it didn't prestige in the same way. You had different operators that you had to get up to the prestige.
But Call of Duty 2019, do you think it's going to have a single player? I'm surprised because this has done so well. Black Ops 4 has done so well. And a lot of people, myself included, were like, well, do you know what? I didn't miss the single player not being there that I would... I don't know.
Are they going to have a Battle Royale mode in it? Is that just going to be Treyarch's thing?
Nah, I think like that and Zombies is now. Yeah, but it's not now, is it? I think Blackout and Zombies. Unless Fallout...
The thing is, though, I have a bit of an issue with that then, because...
It's going to be hard to differentiate.
Blackout seems to be trying to follow a Fortnite-style mode of delivery.
Hmm.
And I kind of feel like that's fine, and I don't have anything against that. But I kind of feel like then that the blackout that we have now, I was kind of expecting it to be a more supported part of the game. In the, yeah, you know, next year it would, oh, we might have another map for it. Not like, oh, it's Infinity Ward's turn and now maybe we've got Infinity Ward's version of Blackout. So everybody dumps Blackout and goes on to the new one, like what happens with the annual release of Call of Duty. I don't know whether that I'm ready for that. I don't know. I kind of feel like maybe they've stuffed it. Yeah.
Because like they did that thing on PC where you could buy the multiplayer and Blackout separate from Zombies at a cheaper price.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, hang on, this is happening. They are going to break these games out and turn, like you say, turn Blackout into a games as a service.
Yeah.
While making you buy the new Call of Duty each year because that's the new single player and multiplayer. But now, I just don't know. I don't know.
Because I wonder if they've broken their own way of delivery. I don't know. Well, and now it's got me thinking.
At one point, you got to remember, they had Call of Duty and they had the Guitar Hero games. And the Guitar Hero games, yeah, went away, but it's been replaced by the remakes, like the Crash, the Spyro. So like that year you had Crash, then you had Spyro. Next year you got Crash again, the kart racing game. So they have got something making them a lot of money that isn't just Call of Duty. So I don't know. I don't know what their sort of financial plans are, but I guess we'll see. You know, won't be that long, and they'll have to start teasing it. So there's always that to look forward to. Speaking of which, the other bit of news this week is that the long-rumoured new Alien game does appear to be an Alien game. There were copyrights shown for a game called Alien Blackout. Nobody knew what it was. There was some sort of teaser before the Game Awards that I'm sure just disappeared. They didn't do anything with it. But it does appear that after a tweet from the official Alien account that something's happening with Ripley, but not that Ripley, Amanda Ripley, the daughter. It's called Alien Blackout, and it's a mobile game from Fox Next Games and D3 Go and Rival Games that, according to Variety, which comes from Brian Crescente, it puts players in the boots of Amanda Ripley aboard an alien-infested Weyland-Yutani space station, which is the plot of
every Alien.
Well, yeah, but specifically, yeah, Isolation. In the game, players need to guide their crew to safety and avoid encounters with the alien. So, yeah, actually, having read that out loud, an alien infested as in an alien, because with the alien, that does again sound like Isolation. The game will be available for download on App Store, Google Play, the Amazon App Store. So this is a mobile game. Developer D3 Go's official website includes details. It says the terror of the alien is brought to life in Alien Blackout, trying to stay alive while trapped aboard a crippled space station carrying a deadly xenomorph as it tirelessly hunts you and the crew. Outsmart the perfect hunter by making perilous choices. Players must rely on the damaged controls of the space station or risk sacrificing crew members to avoid deadly contact, permanently altering the outcome of the game. So it sounds a bit roguelike-y there as well. There is more. I'm not going to just read the full thing here, but
I don't care for mobile games. I'm just going to say it now. Also, I'm a massive wuss and I haven't played Alien Isolation, so I have no hype at all.
Okay. Chris?
If this game is similar to Duskers, where a game so simple in design makes you so on edge, but incorporate the Alien universe into that, I'm fine with it. I'm not massively excited by the news, especially because I thought it might be something else. But yeah, I'm neither excited or disappointed. I'm very neutral at the minute, just because it's not.
So what you said there, we thought it might be something else. I think less so, Nick, because she's obviously not played it. But people like yourself and I,
massive wuss. Well, like you said,
I'm not going to say that because I'm not going to agree with you or disagree, but for Chris and I, who have played Isolation, I think that people like us, we have to just accept.
I don't want another Alien Isolation. I'm perfectly happy with that game being what it is, because it's the best iteration of an alien story or game or world outside of the original two films, at least, because they're the best. And you were just running away from. You were running away from a few threats throughout, but the main alien, that's perfect. That was a perfect game. Whereas I just want another Alien game that isn't that, but I don't know, I expect it to be something else. Because we were talking about, like, a Destiny-style Alien game, which I don't want, but we did talk about it on the pod a month or so ago. But just a different mm-hmm. kind of game that isn't... I don't know, I wasn't expecting this, so I'm not, like, gutted about the news. I'm just a bit surprised that it's a mobile game, especially with how mobile game announcements seem to go nowadays. I mean, there mm-hmm. are a lot of good mobile games out there, but I don't really play a lot of them. I don't spend a lot of time playing games on my phone. So whether I will or not, I don't know. But as long as it's just a solitary game where you just play it and there's no microtransactions or anything like that, where a lot of the games do it, whether it's just like seven levels.
They definitely have them.
Well, if it's just seven levels, like Duskers, if it's just straightforward levels, you play it, it's over, brilliant. If it tries to incorporate all that shit, then nah.
Right, let's do some listener correspondence. Just some Christmassy stuff, some not. So Angry Fodder on Twitter, at Angry Fodder, asks, who put on the most weight over Christmas?
I lost weight because I was Poo Willy.
Yeah.
I was Poo Willy.
Oh, I don't even want to think about it.
To be honest with you, I didn't have a particularly gluttonous Christmas. I was genuinely very tired for most of it, and it kind of was gone in a flash. So I did have some stuff. You know, you have the Quality Street, you have the usual stuff. But we've, in recent years, started buying less. And we used to go to, like, the local butchers, like, for the turkey. And we did just a turkey crown from Tesco. And it was fucking dreadful. So I didn't actually even finish my turkey on the day because it was not good. Whereas we have a ham as well, and that was really good. But, yeah, we don't do it like we used to. I don't know about you guys, but we genuinely have started buying
wife,
less.
My bakes a lot over Christmas and does a lot of, like she makes these Oreo truffles, which are amazing. And she does
that,
like,
sounds good.
Yeah, it's just essentially crushed Oreos with cream cheese.
You've got an interesting way of saying Oreos, by the way.
Yeah, my wife says this.
Yep.
Yeah, apparently I'm wrong, but...
It's potato,
potato,
here.
Potato, mate.
What does Nicola say? How does she say it?
Oreo.
Yeah, sorry, Chris.
No, it's fine.
Don't mean to gang up on you, mate.
No, mate, it's all right. Opinions are like arseholes. So I think she made fudge as well.
Do you want to finish that or not? Or just leave that, like, you know, no. Normally then you say everyone's got one, but you just say opinions
well,
are like arseholes.
I'm assuming that the smart listeners know the quote. So, yeah.
Okay.
So she makes chocolate fudge as well. She makes
that sounds
Bailey's.
Good too.
You know what bark is, don't you? It's like thin.
It's on a tree.
No, like in terms of cooking, it's like a thin layer of chocolate, and you put like loads of stuff
yeah,
in it.
Okay, yeah.
Well, she makes like bark, but with Bailey's kind of cream in it. So it makes it like a sandwich, like a chocolate sandwich. So she makes stuff like that.
God.
So she tends to do a lot of bacon for family, and then we'll get the few batches nearer Christmas that she makes. So we didn't.
Oh wait, so she's making all this, and you're just having to watch it go out the door.
Oh, no, she's making it for family, and then she makes stuff for us.
Oh,
as well.
Extra.
So, extra
okay,
fish,
okay,
yeah. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, okay. But that's I always look forward to Christmas because she makes some really nice stuff. So,
yeah, I'd like the sound
yeah,
of all
I mean,
that.
We don't tend to buy loads. We tend to get given boxes of biscuits and stuff, but we don't really buy a lot. But yeah,
I do like a good biscuit at Christmas, I will say.
What's your favourite? What kind of biscuits do you like at Christmas? Is there a specific one or just...
Not really, mate.
I like the Foxes.
Yeah.
That
Christmas
okay.
Selection.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you got me there. They've usually got thicker chocolate on
them,
I think.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, we didn't have a box of them this year. I was a bit upset.
Well,
but there again, I've not been eating
yeah.
any of it.
Yeah.
I've still got loads left. I've got two boxes of biscuits. I've got a box of Quality Street that's been merged with a box of roses.
Yep.
And then my son got a big bag of, like, mini Toblerone thingies. So we've got loads because we just didn't eat it. But I don't eat a lot of sweet stuff anyway. I tend to, like, just indulge on cheese and stuff.
Oh, no,
if
you're talking of cheese board, Nick. If you're talking of cheese board.
I've still got all my Christmas cheeses as well, Adam.
A nice squidgy brie. Oh, you got me there.
Let me tell you, I went to Aldi and I got a little cheese board, right? And it was only £6.
Lovely.
And I was well chuffed. It had a brie on it, a red Leicester, a cheddar.
Nice strong cheddar, I hope. Tangy almost.
Nice one with a Wensleydale with cranberries in it. And this blue Stilton style cheese. Oh, my God. The blue cheese. Do you like blue cheese?
I don't, I'm afraid.
Oh, my God. This blue cheese is fucking incredible. It is so creamy.
Are you a blue cheese fan, Chris?
Oh, I'm not a blue cheese fan, I'm afraid.
Oh, my missus likes it. Claire likes it. She'd be with you.
Beautiful.
There.
Aldi. Blue cheese. It's creamy as Beautiful. I love a bit of cheese.
Oh, hey, listen, I think if you really offered it, I think I'd take a cheese board over a box of Quality Streets, I think, like, and some nice crackers. Yeah. You know the nice Jacob's crackers box where it's all different kinds of crackers?
I want to tell you about some crackers at Aldi as well. Aldi crackers.
Not sponsored by Aldi, for the record.
They do these little thin crackers, right? And they do ones that, like, I've seen these more commonly in other supermarkets, which are infused with like a salt and peppery type.
Oh yeah, I know the ones.
Thing, right? Well, Aldi do these rosemary ones, and oh my God,
Jacobs do like just like they're called thins, literally called thins, and they're, I like them on their own. David Ayers, sticking with the Christmassy things, says I'll do the easy one. Anyone got any New Year's resolutions?
Yes.
Nah.
Oh,
I've decided that I will welcome Brexit and embrace it.
Oh my God,
I don't believe a fucking word of that.
No, I can't. I'm lying. I don't have any.
Have you? Not none at all. I don't set New Year's resolutions, but I do set myself little goals.
Yeah, and yeah, I've done that, but yeah.
I don't know if I want to say it because it sounds really bad, but one of my sort of New Year's goals is to be a bit more selfish.
I agree with you.
I feel like I spend so much doing things for other people that, like, I had a bit of a spell during Christmas where I actually had nothing to do, and it sent me a bit funny because I didn't know what to do with myself. Like, I didn't know what to do with my own. Like, actually sitting there and going, I have nothing to do. I felt a bit weird and I didn't like it. And I think that comes from always doing stuff. So it's like partly, you know, be a bit more selfish and try and find a bit of time for myself. And that sounds, like I say, it's not a great thing to say on a podcast for other people, but that's probably about as close as I come. And of course, like, try and lose the weight I put back on over the last few months of the year, because I did really well through the year and then fucked it all up. Dane asks, of all the games currently on your backlog, this is a nice simple one, but it has to be one you haven't started at all, which I've just read now and realise I don't have an answer now because I didn't see that the first time.
you cheeky... I'm exactly the same. I was just looking at that. User.
I was going to say Assassin's Creed, but I have started that. So of all the games that you haven't started yet on your backlog... No, I've got one. Okay. But what are you most looking forward to playing? You haven't started it yet. I can go if everyone's thinking of one.
Go, because I've started everything.
Mutant Year Zero.
Oh,
okay.
Yes, that's mine.
It looked interesting to me before. Then watching Gary do a stream of it, I was like, "Oh my god, this is for me."
Yeah.
And I've had it installed and not yet played because it's Game Pass, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It is on Game Pass.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm terrible, and that I get a game and I start it, even though I've got like 100 other games that I'm already halfway through. So I can't actually think of one in my backlog.
I normally do that too, but I just haven't started that one. The other one is The Missing. I still haven't started The Missing.
I mean, I could also say Mutant Year Zero.
Yeah, why not?
I've got Game Pass. I tell you what, I did download. That's sat waiting for me to play Quantum Break. I was going to give Quantum Break a go.
You've never played that?
No.
That surprises me.
I was going to give it a go because it's in Game Pass. But then again, oh my God, I was also, because Metro, the new one's coming out soon, I was going to finally finish my playthrough of Metro, whatever it's called, and then play the other one.
Right.
Whatever that's
so
called.
That would
because
last
I've
light.
Never played it because I own both of them.
Yep.
And they are both in Game Pass.
Oh,
Game Pass is amazing. Yeah, they're both in Game Pass.
Didn't know that.
So I was going to play those as well, and one of those I haven't started yet, so that could count.
Okay. Yeah, that counts
technically. But when I'm going to do that, I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
Considering Metro's out soon, isn't it?
Oh, like, I'm not saying I'm going to start Mutant Year Zero today. I might never start it, is the truth. But I would really like to. I mean, there are games I'm desperate to play more of, like Forza Horizon 4. But you know what I mean. You know what it's like. Last question this week, and last thing for this week is McPoo. Again, these questions. The reason I'm not reading out Twitter names is because they're from our Discord channel, which is another thing you get access to if you're a Patreon. He says, you will have to spend the next 24 hours in the world of the last video game you played. A, will you survive? B, will you have a nice time?
No.
Because I'm
That sounded really like...
What game was it then?
Oh, I don't know if I can talk about it.
Well, you can say that you're... yeah, okay, fair point.
I'll think about the second to last game I played, which was FIFA.
Well, so... All right, let me rephrase it. You have to spend the next 24 hours in the world of the last non-embargoed game you played.
All right. FIFA. So
I really want to hear that version, though. I want to hear that game. Are you talking about the one beginning with O?
I might be, yes.
I really want to hear that. Maybe we'll have to revisit this question, actually, at some point, because I want to hear... But yes, go on, FIFA.
Yeah, which is really dull.
Would you survive, though, Chris? Would you survive in the world of FIFA?
No, I'd probably have a heart attack within the first 10 minutes of play.
I wouldn't make 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But you'd have a great time,
bloody
surely.
Would. Walking out would be pretty good.
Can I clean the boots?
Yeah, I'll be at the sidelines. I'll be the...
Are you doing a manager? Are you doing career mode?
Career mode. I'll be the manager.
Okay,
I'll be,
right. I'll be there Lionel go, Messi, right.
The lookalike who looks like every manager in the game.
Do you know, I'm glad you said that. I don't know if we've talked about it on the podcast, but I've been playing a lot of FIFA. Mm. The last time I did a career mode, he looked dead like Messi. This one looks like... I've forgotten his bloody name. He was West Ham manager for a while, but isn't now. He managed the national team. But they all look like players. It's pretty weird.
Yeah.
But will you have a nice time, Chris?
Yeah. I mean, the championship is never the most of exciting.
Oh, you managing Derby?
Of course I am. I can't okay. not. The first season I did was with Arsenal. So I always seem
Mate,
to...
as a Bolton fan, I promise you, it's so much more rewarding when you don't manage the team you're a fan of.
Yeah.
I'm doing Man United. I sold half the team. That's great.
Yeah. It is awkward trying to deliberate who's going in the team. I signed Callum Wilson from Bournemouth. I was pretty sure for that.
Oh, good, good.
He's now a top goal scorer. Oh, but yeah, well, FIFA, so enough. We're hey.
Yeah. So you would survive, maybe.
It depends what
you
role.
You might have a good
depends
time.
What role I was having, yeah.
I love that you might survive and you might have a nice time.
It depends
time.
If I'm playing or just chilling out.
Okay. Nicola, what is the last game you played?
Sea of Thieves.
Okay. Will you survive? This is you, not your pirate, because she'd survive.
Yeah, I mean, she'd take a lot to bring her down.
It would take a few, more, bit more than a, yeah.
She's
but would,
a sturdy
you, but
woman.
Would you survive?
Would I survive? I don't know. I'm not
you don't
sure
have
I know
to be
how to
the
sail
pirate.
A boat.
No, but you don't have to. You could be one of the people selling stuff on the islands or...
Oh, probably.
You know, it doesn't specify you have to be the avatar
Maybe.
You inhibit.
I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. If folk were, like, you know, nice and friendly, then yes.
Mm.
I'm not particularly piratey pirates, so probably if they were aggressive, then no.
But would
you have a nice time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I
well,
think
I do would. Like I do like pottering in Sea of Thieves, so I could just potter about, couldn't I? I'd have a wonderful time just sailing.
So
yes, okay. Yes, and yes.
Okay, so for me, it's Red Dead Redemption 2. Mm-hmm. Will you survive? I mean, not long, but I don't see any reason why I wouldn't survive. I'm not Arthur; I'm just me.
Mm.
I don't think I'd have a very nice time.
Well, you'd have to like. Shoot a rabbit or something.
Well, can I not
you?
Be one
Skin
of the
it.
Like posh toffs? Well, it's not really me.
Would
is
you
it?
Be?
Why
do, would you be?
Why are you going?
Where would you
be
go?
One of the performers in the theatre in Saint Denis.
Ah, oh, but then no. I just think I want to. I don't know. I don't think there's much about Red Dead. I see. I enjoy playing it, and I enjoy inhabiting Arthur because he's an absolute motherfucker with a gun.
All right, sorry.
No, he's. You know, I love in that game how sometimes, just now and again, they all sort of go, you're a really good shot, because it's like, yeah, I just had 6 bullets and 6 kills. Like, you know, I'm the best shot. Not a good shot, the best. But that's not me. That's Arthur Morgan. I would survive in the same way that everyone survives for such a certain amount of time. But I don't think I'd have a nice time.
Would you, well, you could, like, be a... I don't know, Saint Denis or Strawberry
yeah,
or something,
like,
and just be in the inn playing poker.
But they've got no internet or like, I don't think I'd have a... I think I've become too ingratiated with technology. I don't think I'd have a nice time at all.
I wouldn't mind, like, getting on a horse and having a little ride around.
I feel like a horse would give me a bad back, though, Nicola.
I'll be honest, I don't even know how to ride
Nor
a horse.
Nor do I. My dad was a jockey for a bit, so, like, I don't...
Go fishing.
Don't
beat
even
one
know.
With
I got
the
kicked
wild.
By a horse. I'm trying to think what the game before.
You got kicked by a horse.
I wouldn't want to skin a rabbit either. Yeah. I wouldn't want to skin a rabbit in the way that Arthur Morgan skins a rabbit. It really disturbs me. And I'm pretty sure the skin of a rabbit does not just come off like that.
Slight spoilers, but did you ever do the side? No, you won't have done it yet, actually, because we were talking prior to the cast about this game, because we've talked a lot about it.
Big animals.
But have you taught someone else to skin one?
I taught a woman and who lost her husband how to skin an animal.
And he literally says, just grab hold of it and rip it off.
I'm convinced that isn't actually how you skin a rabbit.
Anyone who's ever skinned an animal, write in to us.
I need to know.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I don't need to know at all. I don't ever want to know if it's that easy. I can't.
Okay, scratch that. Don't write in.
I don't want to know.
Yeah, don't write in. We don't want to know. But do subscribe and do follow at @wavy_gravy and at @FirstAvenger83 and myself at DMSF. It's what?
It's currently a Sea of Thieves fan account, wavy_gravy.
That's fine. But of course, and we'll have Adam and Gary back as well as the podcast rolls into January further. Of course, we're all going to be here chatting to you all every Wednesday for the rest of the year. I was just going to say sorry about that, but like, you don't have to listen. In the fact you are, we really appreciate it. So thank you. Reminder that patreon.com/godisageek, $1 a month, you get this podcast early, extended, you see videos. We're actually starting to do a thing called pre-production where we're sort of trying things out to see if you like them and if you do or how you change them. And we're taking that feedback on, and that you'll start to see, everyone else who's listening now will start to see the fruits of those things. The people who are Patreons, let me know what you think of the Patreon bit for this week and if you like that, and we can do other stuff like that. But other than that, thank you very much. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year for the next year, just in case we forget. And thank you guys for being here for this podcast.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And we will speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.